Ay, 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 ay! My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I have to protest. What Jesus said and did in the temple courts, taking it upon himself to clear out those of us money changers like myself, who are doing our bit to ensure that the temple remains a house of prayer, is an absolute disgrace. And accusing me of turning what is, for me as a devout Jew, the holiest place in my faith into some kind of robber's den, well, it's almost as bad as accusing me of blasphemy. It's accusing me of betraying my fellow Jew. I'm no more a traitor than that Jesus follower tax collector Levi. Everyone knows that the Jewish tax collectors are treacherous collaborators with the Roman occupation, collecting taxes from Jews to pay for Caesar's disgusting pagan God-covered building projects, not just here in their furthest occupied territory, but also back at Rome. Well, when you've got what it is now, 31 million people to keep as imperial subjects, you have to use tolls and taxes to fund your empire. It's just good economics, good business. And that's all that's happening here. Traitor indeed. Me. What about the high priest, Ananus, son of Seth? Annas, as he's sometimes known. He's a direct Roman appointee. For heaven's sake, they are the ones with the real take, the elite priestly families. How do you think they manage to live in such luxury, up on the hills, in the upper city, loaning money to people? And when those people can't afford to pay them back, they snatch their land, make it for themselves a tidy little property portfolio to fund their palatial homes, their private baths, their Roman frescoes and glazed windows. This place is more like a bank than a temple and a place of worship. This temple drawing in visitors from all over the civilized world to see this marvel of construction that Herod the Great has built. Jews and Gentiles alike now traveling to the temple for the great festivals, like this week's festival of Passover. And of course, all that tourism generates wealth for the royal and priestly coffers. And let's not forget the annual temple tax that all of us devout Jews have to pay. So what's so wrong about me making a little income by charging commission on sales of Jewish coin for Roman denarii? After all, the temple tax is too holy a donation to God to be made with the idolatrous Roman coinage with Caesar's head stamped on it. No, come to my stall for 24 carat genuine kosher coinage for payment of all your temple taxes and buying your temple sacrifices, your goats and your doves. I'll take those ungodly pagan denarii off your hands and swap them for money acceptable to the chief priests for payment of your temple tithes. For a small fee, of course. Or I would if Jesus didn't get himself all worked up. All consumed by zeal for the house of the Lord. I just don't know. What's your problem, Jesus? What are you protesting about? It's only the temple courts we're trading in, after all. It's only the place where the Gentiles are permitted to come to pray. It's not like it's the inner courts that are only for us Jews. No Gentiles allowed. Why shouldn't we take advantage of the cool colonnades of these temple courts to conduct our business and store our animals sheltered from the blistering midday sun? Why should it be just reserved for praying Gentiles who wish to worship the Lord? Chasing off our livelihood like that, Jesus, is cheating us out of our birthright, our financial interests. I'm going to take up my protest with the temple authorities. Hello, 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 hello. The temple authorities need to put down protests like this. Jesus' overturning of the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves is an unacceptable disturbance of the peace. Jesus, he's nothing more than an agitator and a rebel, a crowd pleaser, no worse, a crowd manipulator, raising the mob up into a frenzy with people claiming to be blind and lame, coming to him for these so-called miracle healings, even in the temple. If he was a true God-fearing Jew, he would be doing healings in the proper way through the proper channels, not just laying his hands on any old Tom, Dick or Bartimaeus. He would be observing the strict rules of purity and bathing. Mind you, is it any wonder that he flouts the rules and of the Torah and the teachings of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on ritual bathing, when his own cousin calls himself a baptizer and goes around baptizing all sorts of undesirables in the river for free? Jesus goes one step further by saying that he's also washing people's sins away. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is one of his famous sayings, apparently, that people wanting to be really pious are clinging on to. Well, if Jesus' idea of purity is cleansing the temple of money changers and all those profiteering on temple rituals, good luck to him. But what I'm protesting about is how Jesus is doing us temple guards out of a job. It's our job to keep the peace, to keep order in the temple courts. We have the weapons and the training to do that. We are the professional security detail to show a strong, forceful presence, use our muscle to put down any dissent or lack of respect for the chief priests and those in power here, be a visible cautionary sign to everyone and a sharp reminder that they need to be in constant fear and respect, not just of the Roman occupying forces, but also the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, the real powerhouse in Jerusalem and throughout the whole Judean province. Ha! Forget the Pax Romana. It's us temple guards who truly keep the peace by preserving the status quo, keeping the religious and not the military as the local ruling class. No more bloody and pointless rebellions, thank you very much. This Jesus is a complete amateur. He actually made a makeshift whip out of some cords and started driving the money changers and the livestock traders and their animals out of the temple courts with it. Who did he think he was trying to be? The Messiah? I know for a fact that there are any number of liberationists, Essenes, zealots, who follow Jesus, even that Simon, one of his close followers. Yeah, they've got access to weapons. He could easily have used lethal force if he'd wanted to. But Jesus, instead of taking up a sword or a spear, decides to fashion for himself a homemade whip out of a string of cord. Like he's giving some kind of nod to the messianic writings of the prophet Isaiah about the root of Jesse. 10th chapter of Isaiah, I think it is, although I can't be sure. I should pay more attention to the chief priests when he's preaching on the Sabbath, but sometimes I do nod off. And the Lord of hosts will wield against them a whip as when he struck Midian at the rock of Oreb. Yes, that's how it goes. I bet the Messiah-obsessed mob who were waving at Jesus, his followers, earlier that day, beloved all that. All those poor, deluded hopefuls, shouting and singing at the top of their voices, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. That's what we all cried as we joined the pilgrimage from our home village near Bethany to the holy city of Jerusalem. My whole family were going on to the city for the festival of Passover. It's so exciting this year because this year, thanks to Jesus, I was well enough to go with the other children ahead of Jesus, riding on his donkey, waving palm branches as we go. My father said that this was an ancient tradition from the Holy Scriptures, that the Messiah, who would save all of God's people of Israel from being subject to the tyrants like the Roman Empire, would be a descendant of King David. My parents say we have to protest against such awful, evil rulers and powers, but we should do it peacefully, like Jesus does, by marching together to the temple as pilgrims in praise and not warriors in battle. My mother says she saw Jesus weeping for the temple on the journey when he saw the magnificent marble and golden building in the distance, like a mother weeping for her ailing baby. Father says the people in authority in the temple don't like him because he attracts the wrong sort of people, like lepers and prostitutes. I asked Father what a prostitute was, and he said, ask your mother. But Jesus is so kind and so welcoming to everyone. He heals them and tells them that all their sins are forgiven. Normally, anyone who is sick or diseased is not allowed anywhere near a holy place like the temple. They wouldn't dream of going there because they would be shunned. But the ones I saw coming to Jesus to ask him to cure them, people who could barely walk or who needed others to bring them, all seemed to be so full of eagerness and to overcome their embarrassment and shame. It was like they had found faith in God, that God still loved them and cared for them, even Samaritans. That's why I think Jesus is so different from all the other rabbis and religious people. He accepts everyone as the same in God's eyes. I mean, look at me. I'm just a girl, aren't I? I'm not important. Nothing I say is important. But Jesus is so clever and wise. He knows the scriptures so well. In fact, he knows them so well, you'd think he'd written them himself. Perhaps he did, somehow. There's something about him that makes you think he's been around for much longer than just one lifetime. Forever, perhaps. My father, he is very knowledgeable about the scriptures too, especially the Psalms. He is one of the leaders at our local synagogue. You may have heard of him. His name is Jairus. He says that after Jesus cleared out all the money changers from the temple and started healing some blind and lame people, Jesus did something very clever and wise. Instead of using the whip that he had made to drive out the animals and the traders from the temple courts on the religious leaders to drive them off too, he used the words of King David in one of the Psalms, the 8th Psalm of David in the Holy Scriptures, where David sings, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." Apparently, because I and the other children were singing "Hosanna to the Son of David," every time Jesus did something amazing, like clean out the temple tax collectors or make some blind person see, the chief priest got really angry that we were giving honor to Jesus instead of to them for all the old Jewish traditions they insisted that everyone follows. They wanted everyone to reject Jesus as the savior of the Jewish people. But how can you reject someone who has a gift from God to raise people from the dead? We're on our way back to Bethany now. That's where Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from death. Lazarus had been buried in a tomb for days, for Jesus commanded him to come out. But Lazarus wasn't the only person Jesus raised back to life. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. He raised me back to life too. I had been sick for as long as I can remember. And all I remember is waking up one morning and there was Jesus. And I felt well and hungry. So that is why I will keep on singing, along with all the other followers of Jesus, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Every time Jesus does something wonderful to show how loving and caring and powerful God is, even if to the ears of those who don't really know Jesus and want to cancel him, my hymn of praise about the goodness of God sounds like the song of protest against the forces of evil. Hosanna! 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 three stories to add, let us pray, to our own story of God's miracle saving love in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your prophets and messengers. Thank you for the word of Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive. The one who came, who spoke and protested. The one who was beaten and lifted up. The one who was entombed. Your son, who was risen, ascended, and glorified. And give to us also, we pray, that courage, that wisdom, that heart, and those opportunities to share those truths of your love and your care and your compassion and passion for this world. In Jesus' name. Amen.